Lord, that is our prayer, that you would speak right now by your Spirit through your word to each one of our hearts. We are here. We want to hear. We want to listen. We want to respond with hearts that are obedient, hearts that are pliable. So, Father, if there's anything in any of our hearts that has hardened us so that we do not hear, by your Spirit, would you please soften our hearts? Speak through your truth that never changes, your word of truth that transforms our lives and speaks into the chaos of today and stills our souls. For you do reign, and you can take all of the chaos of this world and harness it into worship of you. And that's our prayer in our lives this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Wonder if you can remember a time in your life when you were so overwhelmed that you could not speak. Maybe it almost took your breath away. A few years ago, we were on vacation in Wyoming, one of my favorite places. I had some friends that lived there in Wyoming, and we were visiting them, and they had horses, and you know I love horses. One day we're riding the horses with them up this valley. There's a little river that would run through the middle of the valley. And so we went up on one side of that river. We kept climbing. In the distance, there were very high mountains with snow still on them in August, but we weren't going to reach that high. But as we climbed, at one point, our friend said, right here, if you are brave enough, I'd encourage you to come over with me. And she rode her horse over towards a cavern. It was a crevasse in the earth where this river had just begun to dig deeply. You could see it digging, and then it poured through some rocks, a massive waterfall falling I don't know how far down into the bottom. Well, I was not going to ride a horse over there that I had not ridden before. I got off the horse, tied it to a tree, and walked over near that edge. And as I got near that edge and listening to the power of that water, it's not like a state park or something where there's a railing, you know, there was nothing. I got down on my knees and I got up to the edge, and as I got closer, I could not stay on my knees. I laid down flat and crawled on my belly, stuck my eyes over the edge, and I remember being so overwhelmed with the power that God had created in that river that it took my breath away. If I had not been flat on the ground, I would have fallen over that cliff. That's where Daniel finds himself as he's facing this heavenly being, finding out for the first time that there's a spiritual battle that is raging that he was not aware of, but he was participating in because he had spent 3 weeks in prayer. And as we come to verse 15 of Daniel chapter 10, Daniel has his breath taken away. He's speechless before the presence of a representative of God. Daniel chapter 10, page 748 in the Bibles that are there in the chairs, beginning with verse 15. This angel has been speaking to him. At least, I think it's an angel, representative of God. This representative of God is stunning in its beauty. Body shining like amber, like gold. Its face looks like lightning. It is powerful. Verse 15, and when he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and was mute. Couldn't talk. Look at the end of verse 16. I retained no strength. Look at the end of verse 17. Now no strength remains within me. no breath is left in me. Took his breath away. Do you ever remember a time in your life where the wonder and power of God took your breath away? Maybe it was stimulated by something in nature, like my time in Wyoming. Maybe standing near the Grand Canyon. Maybe out near the ocean and you feel the tremendous power of those waves coming in one after another and pulling as the tide pulls back. It's so different from our culture. Our culture says, you can do it. We like to say, I've got this. We like to say, you need me. Daniel has nothing to say. And that is what prepared him for the battle ahead. That's where he found the strength. When he was so overwhelmed with the wonder of God, and yes, with the spiritual battle around him that he wasn't aware of, that he was completely undone. He says, I'm mute. My breath has been taken away. What happened to him anyway? I mean, this is the Daniel who stood before Nebuchadnezzar. As a young boy, he had been ripped away from his family. He had been enslaved. Almost certainly, he had been forced to become a eunuch because his boss is the head of the eunuchs, which means he was part of that group. But when he's called before the king to interpret a dream, in fact, to tell the king a dream, he stands there boldly in the power of God. This is the Daniel who stands before that king's grandson, Belshazzar, and says what is written on the wall is, you have been weighed in the scales and have been found wanting. Today, your life will be required of you. This is the Daniel who, when the whole government shifts from Babylonian to Persian, and the new king, Darius, says, you have to worship me, you can't make any requests of anyone else, he continues to pray before God three times a day, and he walks into a lion's den without fear. And now this Daniel is mute, can't even breathe. Why? Because of the overwhelming vision he has received. Let's read these verses. Because in these verses we find that to be strengthened for service in this battle that we have, we need to first be undone before God, and then we need to tremble at his word. That's what happened to Daniel. He was completely undone in the presence of God's messenger. And then at the end, he begins to tremble at the word of God. Beginning with verse 15, let's read together. When he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and was mute. And behold, one in the likeness of the children of man touched my lips. And then I opened my mouth and spoke. I said to him who stood before me, oh, my Lord. Now, when he says my Lord, he's not talking about God here. That's sir. It's like, dear sir. By reason of the vision, pains have come upon me. I retain no strength. How can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? For now no strength remains in me. No breath is left in me. Verse 18, again, one having the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly loved, fear not. Peace be with you. Be strong and of good courage. And he spoke to me, and I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you strengthen me. And then he said, do you know why I have come to you? But now I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go out, behold, the prince of Greece will come. That's that spiritual battle happening. But I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is none who contends by my side against these except Michael, your prince. And then verse 1 of chapter 11, "And as for me, in the first year of Darius the Mede, I stood up to confirm and strengthen him." That's the angel speaking. So the angel talks about going back to fight against this evil angel who's trying to influence Persia. He's called the Prince of Persia, this evil angel. He says, I'm going to need Michael's help in that battle. He says, I stood up with Darius when Darius first came to power because the enemy is working on this present regime that you live under as well. The spiritual battle is raging, and we've evaluated that. We've looked at that last week, but today we look at Daniel's preparedness for the battle. Where does Daniel find his strength? He finds his strength to serve in this battle by first of all being completely undone before the presence of God. And then secondly, he trembles at the word of God. A real encounter with God always leaves us undone. That's what happens when we come to understand the wonder of the God we serve. Speechless can be a good thing. We so often think we need to have something to say. Even when we're praying, we so often think, I've got to talk when I'm praying. And yet so much of our interaction with the Almighty God of the universe ought to be silence. We ought to be quiet in his presence, desiring to listen instead of desiring to talk so much. Psalm 104, verse 32 tells us that when the Lord looks down on the earth trembles. And when the Lord touches the mountains, what do? They smoke. And when we are confronted with the power of our God, what do? Our breath ought to be taken away. We ought to be silent in his presence. What do we have to say anyway? All self-pride evaporates in his presence. All arrogance is gone when we stand before him. Daniel, this powerful, powerful man in the Babylonian and then the Mede-Persian Empire, probably number three in the government right now, when people approach him, they bow down before him. When Daniel begins to have a vision of the Almighty God and even sees just his representative, his breath is taken away. Have you longed for that kind of encounter with God? The battle is raging, the spiritual battle is raging, and I'm sure that unnerved Daniel. But it's the vision of this messenger. It's the understanding that this messenger is bringing him a message in direct response to his prayer. That Daniel says, because of the vision, pains have overwhelmed me. He is completely undone. See, the strength for our service in the battlefield that we face is never our own. It has to be given to us. None of us are prepared for what is to come. The older we are, probably the better we understand that. Do you remember those of you who are a little bit older when you were young, when you were 20, 25? You thought you could do anything, right? I can conquer the world. I'm going to change the world. The older we get, the more we realize that any strength we have received. It's not from us. It's not our own. We are not called, brothers and sisters, to stand against the society and the direction our culture is going. We are called to stand in the presence of Christ and for Christ. So often we look at what's happening around us, as Daniel could look at that spiritual battle and say, I got to stand against it. I got to speak against it. There will be a time to speak. There is a time to stand, but it's not against society. It's not against culture. Culture and society have always been counter to God. It doesn't matter what culture you've lived in, what society you've lived in. What we are called to stand in is in the presence of God. What we are called to be silent in is in the presence of God. The one we are called to stand for is our Savior and our Sovereign. It's to Him that we must keep our eyes fastened. I love how Daniel finds himself strengthened. It's a personal touch. This messenger from God touches Daniel three times. Verse 10, "Behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees." Verse 16, "Behold, one in the likeness of the children of man touched my lips." And then finally, Daniel is at least able to voice something. Verse 18, again, "One having the appearance of man touched me and strengthened me." This messenger sent from God, representing God, reaches down and touches Daniel when he's prostrate, and Daniel hesitatingly gets up on his hands and knees. He touches him again on his lips, and Daniel can finally voice something. He touches him again and says, "Daniel, you are greatly loved." Our God doesn't sit back in the distance and say, "Stand up and get ready." Our God doesn't stand away and tell us, "What are you doing groveling like that?" No, our God touches us. Think of Jesus when the leper comes to him and says, "If you can, you can heal me." And Jesus doesn't just speak the words. Jesus touches this man who probably had not been touched for years and years and years by anyone. Jesus heals him with a touch. The man who was blind and mute, couldn't hear, all of them, Jesus touches them. Jairus' daughter, her hand cold as the blood has stopped flowing, the breath has stopped going through her lungs, Jesus reaches down and grasps that cold hand, and warmth comes back in, and he lifts her up. Revelation chapter 1, John sees the risen sovereign Savior on the island of Patmos, and John falls before him as though dead, and Jesus' right hand reaches down, touches him, and says, "Fear not." Brothers and sisters, we do lose our breath in the presence of our powerful God, but he touches us. There's gentleness in that touch. There's something so personal about that touch. It's so real. And this angel over and over again touches Daniel. And then the words came that he needed to hear. Verse 19. And then he said, after three touches, "O man greatly loved." You know that little phrase, "greatly loved," there in the Hebrew? It really means you are greatly desired. You know that God desires you? It's not just a love that he has to give. It's not just because God is love and so his love somehow pours out on you. God desires you. No matter how badly you feel about yourself, no matter what kind of self-image you have, no matter what other people have said about you, maybe even the home you grew up in, you were told that you're not worth much. God desires you. What would that do to Daniel? "I'm a slave. Yes, I've been raised to a high position, but I'm a eunuch. I'm not even a man." God desires you greatly, Daniel. Then he says, "Fear not." When we know that God desires us, it takes all the fear away. Daniel's just heard about a massive spiritual battle happening. And this powerful angel before whom Daniel falls in fear, this powerful angel is not strong enough on his own to fight the other enemy angel that he is fighting in this spiritual battle zone. That could put fear in a heart. But all that fear evaporates when you realize that the sovereign of the universe, the one who in Daniel chapter 7 is seated on his throne with lightning flying out of the base of his throne and snuffing out all of his enemies, that one, the Ancient of Days, desires you, loves you. Wow. So don't be afraid. The next thing he says, peace be with you. Shalom. But shalom is so much more than the absence of trouble. Shalom is comprehensive well-being. When Daniel's world is more turbulent than he ever could have imagined, because it's not only changing regimes that he's caught up in the turbulence of. It's not only that he has been taken from his family when he was probably about 15 or 16 and he's never seen them again. It's not only that he has already had a vision of the horrors, the horrible, horrible future events that are coming for his people Israel. It's far more than that. There's a spiritual battle raging and it has a violence to it that Daniel could never have understood. And yet, in all of that, may you experience a comprehensive well-being because you are desired by God. In the middle of the trauma of our lives and in the middle of the chaos of our world, we can experience comprehensive quietness. What we just sung, Be Still. Written right out of the Psalms because God harnesses chaos for worship. He says, Be still, fear not, peace be with you, be strong and of good courage. And in the Hebrew, that's the same phrase spoken twice. It can mean be strong. It can mean take courage. So our ESV uses that, both of those phrases, once the first time, once the second. It's the same phrase said twice. Be strong, Daniel, be strong. Because he has a part in this battle. But he's not going to fight it. Not on his strength. He's going to be strengthened for the battle. Daniel has just said in verse 18 that this messenger from the Lord strengthened him. Daniel has just said in verse 19 that he says at the end, I was strengthened. Lord, speak now, for you have strengthened me. You see, strength from the battle, it's never an internal strength. It's not something we conjure up. It's given to us by God. And Daniel is strengthened so that he can listen. That's what he says at the end of verse 19. Even to hear what you need to tell me, I need your strength. But you've strengthened me. Now I can listen. Please tell me. Sometimes we're not ready to listen simply because we're ready to speak, right? We talk too much. You've been with somebody who's always talking, never seems to stop, never listens, never takes in what anyone else says. Sometimes we're like that in the presence of God. We think that prayer is just saying, instead of pausing and letting His Spirit speak to us, letting His Word speak to us. Daniel says, you've strengthened me. Now I'm strong enough to listen. Now I can take in what you have to say to me. Daniel was also able to listen now because even though he's been so overwhelmed by what God has revealed to him through this angel, that overwhelming sense of awe could take all of his senses away. God doesn't want his servants to be like in a trance where we can't think for ourselves. And so that's why I think the angel says to him in verse 20, as soon as he says, Daniel says, Lord, speak to me, for you've strengthened me. Verse 20, then he said, this messenger says, do you know why I've come to you? I mean, where does that question come from? Of course he knows. This angel's been talking to him for quite a while. What do you mean, do you know why I've come to you? The angel said, I was sent. I was sent by God. And on the way, I ended up in this battle with another prince of Persia, and it's taken me 3 weeks to get here, but I've come. The angel's already told him. Why is the angel saying, do you know why I came to you? I think it's because Daniel, he has been so stunned by the awe of being spoken to by this messenger from God. It's as if he's concussed. It's as if he's had his head hit really hard. You know how a football player has a concussion, they take him off the field and they put up three fingers. How many do you see, you know? Ask him what his name is. Daniel's almost like that. God doesn't want his servants to be lost in a trance. Some people think that worshiping God means we lose our minds. Well, we will be overwhelmed. And we can be stunned into silence. But the angel's waking Daniel up. Do you know I've come to you? Think, Daniel. Remember. Come back to yourself. And he says, now I'm going to go back. I'm going to fight against that prince of Persia. There's a spiritual battle raging. When I go out, then the prince of Greece is going to come. There will be another spiritual battle. We're going to be hearing about that in chapter 11. But I will tell you, before I do any of that, I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. You see, there is truth from God. And it is solid truth. What God has said is always true. Period. It's not up for debate. Is there a book in heaven that the angel is going to read out of? I don't think so. I think he's using a phrase, as we always have to have some kind of phrase to help us in our earthly minds understand what's taking place in heaven. What the angel is clearly saying is, what God has spoken, I am now going to speak to you. And it doesn't change. It is truth, and truth doesn't need to adjust to times. Truth doesn't need to accommodate your situation, Daniel, or your culture, Daniel. Truth never needs to be made palatable. Truth is truth. It's God's truth. And here it comes. And boy, did Daniel need to be strengthened, because as we get into chapter 11, what Daniel's going to hear is not what he was asking for. It's not what he was longing for. It's not what he was hoping for. But it's truth. How often do we find ourselves reading the truth of God in his word and debating it, discussing it? Well, what this means to me, as if I determine what it really is. How often have you heard somebody say, well, the God that I would worship would never, as if I determine what God can and can't do? How often, let's look at some specifics. How often do we say, you know, I don't really feel comfortable with Genesis chapter 2, that God created man, male, and female in his image, only two genders. What do you do with our culture that says there's LGBTQ+? Well, God's truth never changes. It is what it is. And so we live with God's truth. God loves everyone. He loves everyone caught up in whatever they're struggling with. And so we love them too. We don't condemn them. We don't yell at them. We don't ridicule them. We love them because God loves them. But the truth of how God created man and woman is the truth. What do we do with God's plan for family? When God says, just like in the Trinity, Jesus ask the Father, not my will, yours be done. There is order in even the Trinity. And so in the family, God places order. The man is to be the head of the wife. He's to lead the home. In the church, God places order. He has a plan. And some of us say, well, I don't like that. It doesn't fit our culture anymore. Well, God's truth is a book of truth. We're not the ones who decide, well, it's outdated now, it's changed now. Daniel is ready to hear. He's ready to hear God's truth. I love what we're told in 1 Samuel 15:29. The glory of Israel will not lie or have regret. He won't think, oh, I should say it differently. He is not a man that he should have regret. Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, Jesus said himself, truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until it's all accomplished. So what does the angel say to Daniel? I'm going to speak to you now what is written, what is inscribed in the book of truth. Daniel is used to the Medes and the Persians. A law that is written cannot be changed. Well, this is far more powerful than that. This is God's book of truth. So what's the pattern we see in Daniel's experience here? We see that he's totally overwhelmed, in fact, filled with terror. He's awestruck. Then he's silent, not speaking. And he's strengthened so that he can listen, because that's what he needs, his instructions. And we will see that he obeys, because the very last verse of Daniel, chapter 12 and verse 13, he's told, now go your way to the end. You shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of days. Daniel, you have a role to play. You go your way and do what I've told you to do. That same pattern we see over and over again in Scripture. Think of Paul on the road to Damascus. He's overwhelmed with a vision of Jesus Christ. He falls silent before him, and for 3 days he's silent in the city of Damascus until Ananias comes. Ananias prays for him, and we're told that he's strengthened by the Holy Spirit. And then he listens. And what does Jesus tell Ananias he's going to tell Paul? Do you remember? I'm going to tell him how much he must suffer for my sake. Same pattern. Even Jesus in Gethsemane, overwhelmed as he looks at the battle in front of him, the battle that's raging, Jesus kneels before his Father, and he is strengthened by an angel who's sent to help him. And then he stands up to face a crowd that's coming to arrest him and to walk right into that battle. How are we strengthened for the battle? We don't look at the battle. We look at our Lord. We don't look at the battle. We keep our eyes on our Lord. Listen to his word of truth and tremble at his word. Isaiah says, this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble, contrite in spirit, and trembles at my word. Those are the ones God's looking for. Psalm 147, 10 and 11, his delight is not in the strength of the horse, it's not in the pleasure of the legs of man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. Daniel, you're loved. You're desired. I'm not looking for your power. You're an old man. I'm not looking for your wisdom. I'm the one who gave you that wisdom. I love you. Don't be afraid. Listen to me. And then you're going to need to obey. You're going to need to walk towards what I've told you to do. As we're strengthened for service in the battle, we need to first of all be undone before our God. And then we need to tremble at his word. Are you looking at the battle around you? Or are you looking at your Lord? Strength for the battle is in him. Have you asked the Lord to fill you with a wonder of who he is that so overwhelms you that you have nothing to say, only to absorb him so that he can strengthen you? Because there is a spiritual battle. It's a real battle, and he wants to use us. But we don't look at the battle. We look at our Lord. Our Father, we bow before you as Daniel did. And we ask that you would fill us with awestruck wonder of who you are, your beauty, your glory. We pray that you would speak to us and that we would listen. If there's anyone here who feels unloved, would you remind them that they are desired by you, regardless of what anyone else has told them? And help them to come to Jesus, who laid his life down for them on the cross, to trust Jesus to forgive them. Father, for the rest of us, sometimes we're just looking at the battle. Or we're trying to take your word and make it palatable, adjust it for today. Lord, help us to look to you and to tremble at your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we close this morning, I want to introduce to you another person who's come to help us in our ministry. Elijah, would you come up? Elijah Morrow has just come to us. This is first Sunday here. He actually starts working tomorrow. Elijah is going to be working with our student ministry as a student ministry resident. So we're looking forward. We're so excited for Elijah's coming. He's coming all the way. We keep bringing people from the south. This is really south. He's coming from Alabama. So he's coming a long ways up here. But Elijah has been serving in his church, which is larger than ours, but similar demographics as ours. And he's been serving for several years there. And he feels like God is calling him to take a next step in ministry. So he's coming here as a ministry resident in our student ministry. Gar Hoover will be overseeing the whole student ministry as director of student ministries. So the whole thing, middle school and high school. And Elijah will be working under him to assist him in that. So we're really excited about Elijah's coming. I pray that as you see him in the hallways and stuff, you will welcome him, make him feel part of our congregation and our fellowship together. Would you stand with me as we pray? Let me just remind you, tonight is our prayer walk, 6 o'clock. I would encourage you to come. We're going to pray. Last month we prayed for our neighbors. This month we're going to meet at the Civic Center, Southfield Civic Center, in the north parking lot by the library there. We'll meet there at 6 o'clock, and we're going to just walk around the Civic Center area where Southfield government is and pray for our city and pray for our leaders. So I'd encourage you to come 6 o'clock. We'll give you some pointers for how to pray as we walk around in small groups and just pray for our city, the city God has asked us to reach. Will you bow your heads with me as we pray? Lord, we are so thankful that you are the God of the battle, and you have already won the battle. And yet the battle rages as the enemy does not want to give up. We know that how it ends. We know that at the end, the enemy will be completely destroyed, sent into hell forever and ever, never again, to create chaos. But right now, we are thankful that you take people like us, fill us with an overwhelming sense of the wonder of who you are, and then you choose to use us in that battle. We're thankful that you have given us Elijah to come and serve alongside of Gar in the student ministry. And we pray, Father, that you would take this young man's heart, which he is so given to you in obedience and in trust. We thank you for what you've been doing in his life, and we pray that you would use him among us and among our students in a powerful way in the days to come. Lord, you are the one to whom we look. It is your face that we long to have shine upon us. So would you please make your face to shine upon us. Let your countenance rest upon us and give us your peace. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you go to serve him.